Greetings to each one here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Again, wonderful privilege of being in the house of God. Just makes me think of when we can all gather around the throne of God and worship Him forever and forever. Truly in the beauty of holiness. We want to worship Him in the beauty of holiness even here. But still living in these bodies of flesh, our humanity, I think our worship in heaven will far exceed what we experience here, even though it can be a wonderful experience that we have here right now in this service. Excuse me. We thank God for the religious freedom that we do enjoy. I was impressed too with Sunday school lesson this morning, and I think my thoughts for a message kind of run along the same line in a way. You know, we've come out to hear the Word of God. I trust that was the reason for coming. There are other blessings we enjoy also on a social level, but we have come to hear the Word of God, to worship Him. Excuse me. Then it's our responsibility to listen, to take in what we hear, and then to put it to practice in our walk of life. My burden this morning is the burden that the Apostle Paul had for the church at Thessalonica. In chapter 3 and verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians, he says that the word of the Lord may have free course among them. You know, like I said, we're here to hear the word of God. And so we have a responsibility. God is just ready and wanting to pour out a blessing upon us. And we're blessed as we sit under the sound of the word if we have our hearts and minds open to that message, if we drink that in. Paul compared it to he says that the word of the Lord may have free course. Now we know what a course is. It's an onward movement in a particular direction. Progress. And we are, brothers and sisters, we are moving in a particular direction this morning. As children of God, we're marching to Zion like we sing. That's the straight and narrow way. That's where we're moving in. That's the direction we're going. And God wants His Word to have freedom to enter into our hearts, into our minds, without anything disturbing that, without disturbing it. Without distraction, so that we can continue on in that upward way. I trust that the word of the Lord will have free course, or does have free course, in the life and experience of each one of us here this morning. Without that, we will not go forward. Free course, free of obstacles. Now, can we go through this life without any obstacles to face, without difficult things? No, I don't believe we can. But God is far greater than the one that would put obstacles in our way. The devil is the one that wants to put obstacles in our way so that The Word of God does not have free course in our experience. The devil is constantly working to hinder our progress, our spiritual progress. I think I've mentioned this, I'm sure I've mentioned before, how that in the book of Daniel we see how Satan was hindering Daniel from getting an answer when it says he afflicted himself for 21 days, 3 weeks. He was desiring to know God's will. And he was such in earnest that he didn't eat, or very little anyways, in those 21 days. And then the angel came at the end of the 21st day and told him, said that he was hindered by the powers of the evil. And he couldn't come because of another conflict or whatever. So we do face an enemy, brothers and sisters, that is doing all he can to hinder God's word from really sinking into our hearts and into our minds. But God is faithful, and he will never leave us nor forsake us as long as our hearts are toward him. We go to Ephesians chapter 6. We notice here the provision that God has made for each one of us this morning, so that we can be victorious over the enemy, so that his word can have free course in our lives. Ephesians 6, I read verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or against the tricks, the deceitfulness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the devil is the master of deceit. He cannot get us by roaring like a lion. He disguises himself as a lamb. And but he has one purpose in mind, and only one, and that is to destroy us spiritually. He knows his doom. In the book of St. John, it says that his judgment has already been made. He knows that his time is short. And he has one goal in mind, and that is to destroy those that are serving the Lord, to defeat them and drag them to hell with him. But thankfully, God has given us the armor. He's made every provision for our victory. Verse 12 says that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, so forth. You know, brethren, I'm sure that all of us older ones, when we were young, we enjoyed a wrestling match once in a while with our brothers or friends. But when we wrestle, it takes a lot of strength. You put forth every effort you can to beat your opponent. And so it is in the spiritual sense. We cannot do it in our own strength. We must rely upon God. We wrestle against powers that are far greater than what we can handle in our own strength. I was reminded of Jacob in Genesis 32, when he was returning he was going to meet his brother Esau, and I think he was quite fearful of what could happen there. And an angel came at night and says that Jacob wrestled with the angel, and the angel wanted him to stop, but he was determined to receive a blessing before he would let go. And I believe it's an example for us how that we need to be desperate in our desire to overcome. If we're willing to hang on and not give in to the devil, regardless of how strong he is, we can do that as we rely upon the power of God. We can be more than conquerors. And Jacob did receive a blessing before the angel left him. Here in these verses, I believe I'll read, go on and read through 13 through 17. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now in this armor, I've been impressed how many pieces of this armor refers to truth. And God's word is truth. Verse 14 says, your loins girt about with truth. Well, we can say the word of God. Jesus himself said, thy word is truth. There in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. Thy word is truth. Verse 15 said, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To go out and witness to the world, we take the word, we give the word. It's truth. It's God's word. Also speaks of the shield of faith. And we think of our faith. Why? Our faith is in God. It's in his word, in the promises that we find in his word. And also speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which I believe can also, we can think of the word of God in that. So as we think of the word of God having free course in our lives, we see the word is very, very important. It's we could not live the Christian life without feeding on the word of God and allowing it to rule us and control our lives. We want to think of, how do we allow God's word to have free course in our lives? First of all, we must have our hearts prepared to receive the word. I know I've mentioned something about that already. But when we come to church, we come to hear the word of God. We don't come here to catch a nap. We don't come here to whisper to our neighbor. We come here with the purpose of worshiping God, hearing his word, feeding on his word. Jeremiah 4, verses 3 and 4 speak of how we need to break up the fallow ground. To me, it's saying, prepare the soil of your heart. You know, fallow ground is ground that's been left lay out for a year or more. And our hearts are desperately wicked, the Bible says. And so we need to break up that, have that heart changed and prepare it to receive the seed. And only in that way can Can we have the word find free course in our lives? We're going to turn to Matthew 13. You notice the parable of the sower. Read verses 1 through 9 and then 18 through 23. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat, and whole multitudes stood on the shore. And he spake unto them, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And verse 18, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So this morning, the question is, how is my heart? Did I take time to prepare my heart to receive the Word of God? Yes, it should always be. We should also always be in that frame of thought and mind that we're ready to receive the Word of God. But there are times like this when we especially come to hear the Word of God and collectively worship Him. But you know, it's very important that we have our own times of private devotions, that we have our family devotions, that we take time with God. We do not want to be of those that received the seed, fell on the wayside where the ground was hard and been trodden down, and you know, there was no way that seed could germinate and grow and bring forth fruit. A hard heart cannot please God. The Word of God cannot have free course in a hard heart. Then verse 20 speaks of a stony heart. In Mark 6, verse 20, it says that Herod gladly heard John the Baptist, but John's message perplexed him greatly. Herod did not allow the word of the Lord, the word of God, to have free course in his life. Herod had him put into prison. Finally, he had John beheaded. Sad ending. For that, Herod had a very, very sad ending in his life. He had a stony heart. He heard the word, but did not allow the word to bring life and peace and joy to his heart. Verse 22 speaks about the thorns, the cares of this world. Yeah, we're commanded to work. We're commanded to provide for our own. And those are all good things. But brothers and sisters, let's not allow the cares of this world, the cares of this life, the things, even the good things that we do, to choke out God's word. It's just so necessary that God's word has free course in our hearts and in our lives, that we're listening to the voice of God, that we're being obedient to Him. There's lots of distractions in this world today. And you know, just as trying to text and whatever all while we're driving is a distraction that has caused many an accident, the distractions that the devil puts in our way will cause spiritual accidents also, spiritual death. My heart's cry this morning is that we have our hearts so open to God and so prepared to receive His word that God can speak to us, that we can grow spiritually, that we can be strong like Daniel and his friends were, that regardless what may come, regardless what the world might do to us, if we're ready to take our stand for truth, even if it should cost us our lives. I know we live in a very, very easy time when we were talking in Sunday school class, what does it cost us today to truly follow the Lord? Well, you know what? We've just got to be sold out to God. We're done with self and our own will. And then whatever, if the Lord allows us to live in a time of peace and prosperity, that fine, we're still going to serve Him. We're not going to let this distraction take us away. And when hard times come, persecution should come, that we'd be ready to say, you know what? I want to be faithful. I would rather die for my Lord than to turn away from His will for my life, to reject the one who died for me. That would be so awful. Speaks here too of the deceitfulness of riches. Another obstacle that the devil tries to put in our way today from truly allowing God's word to have free course in our hearts and in our lives, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, you know, it's nice to have a nice bank account. And there's nothing wrong with having some money if it's gotten in an honest way, if it's gotten in a way that is honorable and pleasing to God. But let's be careful that we don't allow money to deceive us. It can get a grip on a person. Yes, it can. We want to be of those that where the seed falls on good ground, where fruit that is pleasing to God is brought forth in our lives, and thereby glorifies Him. Good ground where the distractions of the world are done away with. We don't allow these things to hinder God's word from working in our lives. We place a lot more value on God's word than on the perishing things of this world. I think it's something we need to always remember, that whatever we might accumulate in this life, we will finally leave it. We'll leave it one day. If not before the return of the Lord, when we pass from this life, we will leave all these things behind. The important thing is that we have left God's word have free course in our lives, in our hearts. That we've made all of our decisions and choices according to God's will, in light of eternity. Brothers and sisters, for God's word to have free course in our lives, we must love His word. And how do we demonstrate that we love His word? It's in simple obedience to the word of God. Simple obedience. That's the proof of our love. Jesus said, if you love me, what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. That's right. So, if we say we love God, if we love Jesus, how much do we love His word? How much do we love His commandments? You know, we can't love Jesus. We can't love God more than what we love God's word. It's impossible. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 1:1-2. And don't get tired of me reciting these verses. I know I do various times, but they're precious verses to me. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he goes on to say that he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So how much do we really love God's word? Are we spending time in meditating upon the word? Do we allow the word of God to direct our lives, our daily lives, in our decisions, in our business, in our homes, whatever? Is God's word the rule and guide of my life? Do I love it? Is it a joy for me to obey the commandments I find here in the word of God? If it's not a joy to obey God's commandments, brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of homework to do. We do. God's word will never find free course in our hearts if we do not love it and love to obey God's commandments and precepts. Yes, we must feed upon the word of God so that we can meditate upon it. Second Peter 2 verse 2 says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Turn to John chapter 6. You know, a babe, a few more comments on 2 Peter 2. A baby desires to eat. And as we give our hearts to the Lord and we're born again, babe in Christ, we need to have that same desire to feed upon the Word of God. And as we grow, then we get into the deeper things of the Word and meat. St. John 6, beginning at verse 48. If we do not separate Jesus from his word, we accept Jesus as our Savior. We're accepting his word as the rule and guide of our life. We're accepting his word as our food, spiritual food. Beginning at verse 48, reading through 58. Jesus speaking, he said, "I am that bread of life." He was speaking to the Jews here. He said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." So we must feed upon the scriptures. We must meditate on the scriptures. If we will have God's word to have free course in our life. You know, as I picture God's word having free course in my life, it is directing me in every area that I need to go, in what I need to do. Yes, it's just controlling my life. If it is truly having free course in my life. 2 Timothy 2:15, study speaks there of studying the scriptures. Should be able to recite that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, study the scriptures. Know the word of God. That's the only way it can have free course in our lives. I've often been impressed with what Jesus told the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, I believe it was, in his ministry. They so held up Abraham as their father, and they could quote the law. Finally, Jesus told them one day, he said, "Search the scriptures." He says, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life." Search the scriptures. You know, we come together, and I'm glad we do. We don't want to bypass this privilege at all. And Scripture actually says to do it more as you see the day approaching, as the end is coming. Scripture says we need to be meeting together like this more than before, to be encouraged. But you know, if we only come and with a casual attitude and don't really pay attention to what the Word of God says, it will not bring forth fruit for the glory of God. When God's Word truly has free course in our lives, it will give us strength to overcome the enemy. We will be fruit-bearing. You know, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. As we abide in Christ, then abide in his word, then our lives bring forth fruit for the glory of God. 2 Timothy 2 speaks there of sanctification. Word of God having free course in our lives will sanctify us. It'll make us more like our Savior. Romans 8:19 speaks of being conformed to the image of Christ. These are all things that the Word will do for us as we allow the Word to work in our hearts, in our experience, and we're willing to obey the commandments of God. We will be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And that's so important as we live in this world. You know, God has not called us to be an island in ourselves. He's called us to go out into the world with the gospel, preach the gospel, live the gospel. And so it's so imperative that we're representing the life of Jesus to those around us. We can only do that as we are acquainted with the Word and are living in that way. Another result of God's Word having free course in our lives is that we will have a deeper and more blessed relationship with Christ, the one who died for us. Yes, we will appreciate more and more what Jesus has done for us as we meditate on His Word and we allow the Word to sanctify us. You know, as we come to the end of this life and we know that our time on this earth is drawing near to an end. To have lived in obedience to God's will, to have allowed His Word to have free course, where we didn't hold back in any area because we just weren't willing to pay the price, is when there's a complete and full surrender to the will of God, to His Word, we will finally be brought into God's very presence in heaven. And that's such a blessed thought. But brothers and sisters, until that day, until that time comes, there is a battle to be fought. There's an enemy to face. But I'm thankful, so very thankful for the Word of God that we have, whereby we can face the enemy in the power of God and be more than conquerors. Let's pray.